You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the number of craft alcohol producers around Wisconsin has grown over the years, but those businesses can face some unique legal challenges when they're starting up. As part of WPR's High Tolerance series, we'll talk about what the law requires and what it may prevent them from doing. First, small wineries around the country are proving they can make a product people want to drink and socialize around. While the businesses can't always compete on the level of those, say, in California's Napa Valley, it turns out the upper Midwest has good soil and microclimates for grapes and fruits. In the next story in our series, High Tolerance, Patty Murray reports that wineries are having a multi-million dollar economic impact on Wisconsin.
Steve Johnson surveys his grapevines at Kewaunee's Parallel 44 Winery.
Even though from your mindset you're like, this is Wisconsin, this is like beer country, Packers, frozen tundra. Not wine country, but...
Johnson bought his 25-acre former cornfield near the shores of Lake Michigan in 2006. He now has 8,000 vines.
But we chose this place because, from a grape-growing perspective, it was the ideal spot because you need the proximity to the lake. And this is right on top of the escarpment. Actually, it's a form of gravel pit, so it's... I searched a lot of soil maps and chose this place, and I realized... It's a perfect place to grow grapes, but it's kind of off the beaten path. So,
Parallel 44 opens the doors of its tasting room to thirsty tourists on their way to or from Door County. Inside, the magic happens in the tank room.
These are what you call your fermentation aging vessels. So the key thing on these tanks is the banding on the sides. This is a coolant that runs around the perimeter of the...
As its name indicates, Parallel 44 is on the 44th parallel. If one traveled about 4,000 miles east, they would end up in the famous wine regions of Bordeaux or Tuscany. Johnson says the region's soils of the local geography, known as the Niagara Escarpment, are good for hybrid cold hardy grapes. And Wisconsin wines are drawing wine tourists. A 2016 study by Michigan State University found wine tourists spent nearly $50 million in 2015. Author Dan McColl is an associate professor of community sustainability at the school. He says those visitors aren't necessarily connoisseurs.
The quality of the wine doesn't need to be the highest. It doesn't need to rival France or California. It just needs to be good enough. And then people can have a very nice experience because some of the wineries in Wisconsin are quite beautiful, and they offer wonderful tasting room experiences for people who may never go to Napa or, you know, to the Loire Valley of France.
McColl's study also showed wineries provide employment to people in rural areas where manufacturing and other industries have shut down. A 2013 study done by UW Extension showed Wisconsin provides more than 700 wine-related jobs. Ripon, once known as Cookie Town, is an example. Two cookie factories closed in 2015 and 2016. The Vines and Rushes Winery planted its first vines in 2007 in Ripon. Owner Ryan Prelwitz says he now produces up to 70,000 bottles a year. Prelwitz is also president of the Wisconsin Winery Association. He says there are around 100 wineries statewide.
There's easier ways to make money than owning a winery. One of the old jokes in the industry is the only way to make a small fortune in the wine industry is to start with a large one. And so there's easier businesses to run than something that's as vertically integrated as this one.
But that hasn't stopped wineries from growing. And more established alcohol interests in the state haven't always been welcoming. Wisconsin's powerful Tavern League has opposed letting tasting rooms stay open past 9 p.m., which wineries say hurts their ability to host weddings and other events. Prelwitz says even though Wisconsin has that beer state reputation, there are just as many people who want the fruit of the vine and a growing number of businesses that want to provide it. Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can read more about that story and see the rest of our series High Tolerance at WPR.org/alcohol. Now, wineries, distilleries, and craft brewers face unique legal requirements as part of Wisconsin's three-tiered legal system. Many small producers have lobbied for changes in the law to make their part of the industry less costly and confusing. Jeffrey Glazer is an attorney at Ogden, Glazer & Schaefer in Madison and an expert on Wisconsin's alcohol laws. He's also a clinical assistant professor in the UW Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we heard from our own Sean Johnson about the three-tiered system yesterday, but give us the rundown in a nutshell. What does it mean for people who make, distribute, and sell alcohol products?
I think in general it means that if you do one, you're not supposed to do the others, or you're supposed to do them in a very limited sense. So it tries to create a distinction between manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers.
And that's creating problems, as I understand it, for a lot of these craft breweries, wineries, distilleries out there. What kind of challenges do you see that creating for them?
The biggest challenges are that it's very inconsistently applied across the different kinds of manufacturing types, right? So the rules that apply to breweries don't apply to wineries and distilleries, and the rules that apply to wineries are very different from the rules that apply to breweries or brew pubs even. So, you know, just because one manufacturer can do it doesn't necessarily mean another manufacturer can.
So if somebody's out there thinking, yeah, this sounds great, I want to start up a brewery, winery, or distillery, on the legal side of things, what kind of things should they be thinking about?
Well, I think the biggest challenge in manufacturing is finding somebody to buy your product, right? Sort of the easiest way to guarantee somebody to be able to buy your product is to sell it at your manufacturing facility, right? And we know these as tap rooms or tasting rooms or brew pubs or whatever, right? But if you're trying to sell it somewhere other than your own location, getting your product to the retail facility can be a challenge, and there are different rules depending on whether you're a brewery or a brew pub or a winery or a distillery for how you can do that.
Now, one specific area that some wineries are concerned about is operating hours, as sure. I understand it. What's going on there?
So for some reason, wineries have to close by 9 p.m. They are the only manufacturer that has to be closed by 9 p.m. So an example of sort of inconsistent application of rules or an inconsistent set of rules. It's not really clear sort of from a policy perspective why wineries should have to close at 9, but it ended up in the law somehow. And so there it is. Now wineries have to be closed at 9, which means their tasting rooms have to close at 9. Although, interestingly, if they're serving beer, they don't have to stop serving beer at 9, but they have to stop serving their own product. They have to stop serving wine at 9.
Talking to attorney Jeffrey Glazer. He's a clinical assistant professor in the UW Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic, talking about some of the legal wrinkles facing Wisconsin's smaller wineries, distilleries, and breweries. Jeffrey, I understand there was a state commission that got together last year to try to hash some of these things out. What came out of that?
That's a really interesting question. I think the jury's still out on that, to be perfectly honest. I think it got a lot of people in a room together, but I think largely, you know, from an outsider's perspective, I was not a part of that commission. From an outsider's perspective, though, it seemed like it was a lot of people talking at each other and not necessarily with each other.
There are a lot of powerful lobbies at play here, right? I mean, the distributors, the retailers, and now this growing group of more and more people involved in being producers here in the state. How do you see the balance shifting over the years?
Yeah, I think the producers have done a great job of getting organized. I think there were some wake-up calls that have happened over the last few years in terms of legislation not really going their way. So I think the Brewers Guild has sort of led the effort in organizing all three guilds, so the Brewers Guild, the Winery Association, and the Distillers Guild. And together, they've now formed a craft beverage coalition, which can lobby on behalf of all three manufacturers, on behalf of the manufacturing tier, so that they can have their interests represented against the wholesalers and the Tavern League and you know, whatever.
And that said, do you expect any big changes or shakeups in Wisconsin's guiding laws when it comes to alcohol manufacturing, sales, and distribution, in our lifetimes?
In our lifetimes, yeah. In our lifetimes, I expect there to be some change. In the near future, I don't know. I can only hope. If they're asking for my opinion, I have some thoughts. It's not clear anything's going to change, you know, in the next, you know, near future.
Leave us with one change you'd like to see.
I would love to see all three tiers have self-distribution capability, or all three manufacturing types, breweries, wineries, distilleries, have self-distribution. Currently, distilleries can't self-distribute at all, and wineries have to go through this weird sort of paper distributor called a co-op, which just really doesn't make any sense at all, while breweries are allowed to self-distribute up to, you know, if you're a brewery almost the size of New Glarus, you can self-distribute. So I think getting some parity there would really help the startup wineries and distilleries in particular.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeff, thanks for coming up today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Jeffrey Glazer, attorney at Ogden, Glazer & Schaefer in Madison, with us to talk about some of the legal challenges faced by craft breweries, wineries, and distilleries.